What happens when we see our lives represented in mainstream media?
What happens when we don't?
What can happen when we use the media to tell our stories our way?
This digital story is about why and how we teach digital storytelling in the college classroom.
The pedagogy of digital storytelling in the college classroom.
How can we create spaces where students can use 21st century digital literacy skills to give the gift of their stories?
Digital storytelling takes the traditions and modes of storytelling and fuses them with video making practices.
Family is important. My mom is the 10th of 16 children. I'm the youngest of four girls.
Using voiceover narration, images, video clips, music, titles, and sometimes sound effects.
This digital story is about why we make digital stories.
And how we teach digital storytelling.
I came to digital storytelling through web searches on personal diary-style documentary. I found Joe Lambert's cookbook and the Center for Digital Storytelling. I ordered Capturing Lives, Creating Community and adapted his method for a class I taught at Minnesota's IFP Center for Media Arts.
I met Rachel in another one of her courses at IFP, and she recommended the Center for Digital Storytelling workshops. I took a course in Berkeley where I adapted a part of my memoir into a digital story called Letter to My Mother.
Dear Mama, 18 months after you died, I was forced to call somebody else Mom. This will be tough enough for me to leather.
I loved the process and felt that undergraduates could really benefit from digital storytelling. So I worked with Rachel, who was a graduate student at the time, to develop the course, Digital Storytelling in and with Communities of Color.
I first learned about digital storytelling through my students, who showed me how to use iMovie. I was inspired by their ability to juxtapose images and music in deliberate ways. I began to realize that digital storytelling involved its own way of knowing and communicating, its own set of literacy practices. I wanted to learn more, so when I saw the flyer for the course posted on Rachel's blog, I emailed Rachel and Walt, trying to find out how I could get involved.
We invited candidates to take the course and to be a co-investigator on our book project.
Through this experience, I became interested in digital storytelling as a mode of writing and digital literacy.
From the beginning, this has been a collaborative project, co-created, co-taught, and co-experienced.
I really like that, co-experience. It supports one of our underlying points of pedagogy, that instructors use their own experiences to model storytelling that is honest and worth sharing.
Our course, a 16-week undergraduate seminar, cross-listed with African-American and African studies, and gender, women, and sexuality studies, attracted a diverse range of students, freshmen to seniors.
To put the power of stories front and center, we started the course with a prompt. We asked the students to write down what they thought was a story, what the value of storytelling is, and who they identified as today's storytellers.
Students shared their ideas as their introduction to each other. It got them all really intrigued about this course and what they would be doing in it.
I taught a lot of media literacy and analytical tools, asking the students to watch and analyze examples of other digital stories. I posed the following questions about context, content, and form.
Context.
Who made the story? For what purpose? And at what point in time? The who, the why, where, and when questions.
Content.
What the story is about, the theme, the thesis, the lesson, the moral, the gift of the story, and form.
Things like still images, video clips, transitions, aesthetic, style, all the filmic techniques that they can use to tell their stories.
Using teacher as text was crucial to our pedagogical practice. We felt that modeling our own storytelling practices would help the students tap into their own.
Before making their own stories, students read my memoir, Ghostbox, then viewed my digital story based on the book. And through the discussion, they came up with a list of what they thought it took, like courage and commitment, to tell their own stories.
We also had them read critical essays on the media and personal essays on the power of photography. We decided to give them a writing prompt based on an image during class time.
I asked the students to bring 5 images to class. I told them to select images that spoke to them in some way. During class, I asked them to take out the photos and flip through them. I said, "Look at your photos. Look, think, feel. Now choose one." Choose an image that is compelling, that is speaking to you right now. Then I gave the students the following prompts. Number 1. Using adjectives, describe this image in words or short phrases. Number 2. What do you see in this image? List the objects, the physical objects. Number 3. What is the story in this image? What story does this image tell? Number 4. What is the story of or behind this image? Who took the photo? When was it taken? Where was it taken? And number 5, how does this image make you feel? After the prompts, I asked all of the students to voice their stories out loud simultaneously. This takes away some of the fear of reading their work to each other. As they read, I asked them to circle keywords or phrases that really resonated.
Then, the students read these selected phrases, going one student at a time around the room. Finally, we have students read over what they have written. The strong writers usually have no trouble revising this into what becomes the voiceover narration.
For other students, we offer them suggestions to pull out key ideas or thoughts and free write more. Some of the students feel more comfortable writing these thoughts into a short story rather than a voiceover.
Students then took their writing, went home and revised, or scrapped it and tried another one of Lambert's methods.
The next class period, the students brought a one-page story that they read aloud. Students offered each other feedback and revised this writing into what they recorded for their voiceover narration tracks. I taught the students how to record voiceover, scan their images, and basic editing of Final Cut Express.
I was amazed at how many hours students spent editing in the lab. They created wonderful stories in which they tackled tough issues.
Like the death of a loved one.
I grew up with 9 people in the house. My mom and dad had 7 kids. So you can't imagine how loud it was at dinner time. I say my parents had 7 kids because I had a little brother that passed away about 4 years ago. Bruh. That's what my parents named him. But to us, he would always be Junie.
This picture captures a look in her eyes. The look in her eyes show that she longs for a child. That even though she's married, successful...
Some of the students used only the one photograph and much of the writing from the photo exercise.
You see my aunt, who's actually like second mother to me, looking at Heaven in Lula's lap.
This colorblind approach was not only a result of my privilege growing up white and thinking that we truly lived in a society where if you worked hard enough, you could succeed, but it also did little to help me understand my students' life experiences as brown-skinned native Spanish speakers. In my nearsighted view of school and society, I positioned school as a route out of poverty as it had been for me.
From the photo exercise, I came up with my video, White Teacher. When I shared my voiceover script with the others in class, they commented that the story sounded sad. Not intending for my story to be sad, I revised my script to highlight what I had learned from the experience and made different music choices.
The story isn't about me.
It isn't about me either.
It's about empowerment.
It's about making sure that your voice is heard.
It's about community activism.
And it starts right now.
In this particular course, students made a second video, much more like a documentary, remixing, interviewing, and lots of time editing. But for me, the most powerful pieces were their first digital stories because they were more personal and really asked students to contribute something original, a story that was uniquely their own.
We taught students more video production skills, like how to film interviews and do basic lighting. Their final projects were short documentaries telling stories of the cities, the Twin Cities specifically, focused on communities of color.
Some chose to follow the format of the image-based digital stories.
One's my color and one's black. Well, those are the two.
What is your color? If you could say in one word, what is your color?
I don't know.
Others chose to take their storytelling skills into the community.
So I got a shout out for Tanika Davis. You know, Tanika's been in the studio for the last couple, what, 2-3 days here now? Doing some filming. She's working on a project.
Who?
Tanika.
Where? What kind of project does she work on?
Tanika, get over there real quick and tell us what you're doing. Hurry up.
Yeah, come on. Join us.
The students gained a lot.
Well, I live at the University of Minnesota, and the class that I have is digital storytelling in and with.
We're fortunate to see the impact of this work all of the time.
We are connected to many of the students through Facebook.
I'm just happy that they're using these tools to tell their stories.
Share old family stories.
Heal their communities from media misrepresentations.
Dig deeper into important issues and let their voices be heard.